I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is made possible thanks to Black Ballads membership community. To find out how to join our community of professionally ambitious, socially conscious, and culturally curious Black women, visit the link in our show notes. Welcome back to episode 2 of Black Ballad Presents The Survival Guide. If you're new here, this is a podcast all about the nuances of parenting as Black women in modern Britain, and I'm Jendela Benson, Head of Editorial at Black Ballad and your host. According to the 2011 census, on average, around 42% of those identifying as Black African, Black Caribbean, or Black British were living as a couple in an inter-ethnic relationship. If past trends are anything to go by, this could very likely have increased when the results for the 2021 census come in. This means there are potentially a significant number of Black parents raising their kids in households with differing cultures. And from speaking to Black Ballad members, we know that this is a choice that brings up various concerns and considerations. So this episode, we're going to be getting into the topic of culture clash and how we can navigate it as parents and maybe even avoid it altogether. First up, we have Ibianga.
Okay, so my name is Ibianga, or Ibi, as most people would know me as. I currently live in the northwest of England, so I live in Bolton. Grew up in Wigan, actually, which is probably about 20 minutes away from here. I'm married to Luke, and we have two children, a 4-year-old Amos, a little boy, and a 2-year-old Zion, a little girl.
Last year, Ibianga wrote a personal essay for Black Ballad called Confronting My Childhood and Righting My Parents' Wrongs. It was all about her initial apprehensions when considering motherhood due to her upbringing. It really was a great article and one of the most popular reads for 2021, so check the show notes for a link if you'd like to take a read. Now, Ibi is Black African, Nigerian to be precise, and her husband Luke is white British. She told me about the different considerations that feature, or don't feature, when it comes to partners in an interracial relationship deciding to have kids.
So I think it's quite a funny situation, because as a Black woman, I am aware that if ever I choose to procreate one day, that my children are going to be of some kind of, non-whiteness. So either if I married a white person or an Asian person, ultimately my children are never going to be white. However, for a person who's white to, end up with a person who's Black, I don't think that they often calculate that potential of having a child who's of colour. Because I do know some people who would have a preference as to maybe keeping it within your culture, so to speak. That wasn't really me necessarily, but I think I probably only truly felt the grandeur of the difference after having a baby. And obviously my baby being half black African and half white, you know, English British.
If you are from a Nigerian background, you may be aware of the traditional way newborn babies are bathed. The first bath is often a very rigorous affair, with the baby's limbs being stretched and massaged, and sometimes the baby is basically hung upside down or even thrown up in the air. From what I've been told, the aim is to encourage good digestion, flexibility, and fearlessness in the newborn child. But when it came time for Ibi's son to receive his physical initiation, the difference in cultural background and expectation became very, very clear for Ibi and her husband Luke.
So, Amos was probably 3-4 days old and my mum came over, it's time to bath him. That's what she said. She just got him, ran the little baby bath thing, and she started the ritual. So it was, you know, the stretching of the limbs and the massaging of the back and, you know, pretty much throwing them in the air and catching them by a finger and things like that. It was pretty crazy. But I had seen her do this to my nieces and nephews when they were younger. But Luke had never seen this. So I guess the look on his face was a bit like, what's she doing to our child? And even for me, it was like, wow, you know, mum, go easy. You know, from there were plenty other things as well, small and big. So you see some more trivial things, like even culturally, the way that families would get around you after you've given birth is different. Just very different. So my mum was very much the provider of, like, I'll bring you pepper soup, I'll bring you this, you know, you need to heal, I'll give you this. Whereas Luke's mum was more of the nurturer, you know, let me come, you go to sleep, you rest. And so just, yeah, those were the kinds of differences. And that wasn't even necessarily in how we were raising our child, but just a real awareness of how different our cultures were.
Ibi had forewarned her husband about the traditional bath that would be coming little Amos's way, and she says that after the initial shock, he was quite transfixed with the process. But when Ibi's mum asked about their son getting circumcised, that was a different matter.
My mum asked the question about whether we were going to circumcise my little boy. I didn't want it to happen, but Luke was certainly just like, no, we're not doing that. So after my mum went home, we had to have a discussion and just say, you know, I'm with you. We're not doing that to Amos. He doesn't need that to be done to him. Like, and I had to explain to him culturally that is just the norm. It's what they do to boys. And you almost have to wait till after the moment to give a bit of a breakdown. It's like, okay, let me just explain this to you, why that happened or why this didn't happen.
Some mums can find themselves in situations where they feel stuck in the middle, trying to navigate the different cultural expectations of their partner's family and their own family amongst their actual desires for their children as well. It definitely helps to have a patient and supportive partner. And if you can both communicate clearly, come to your own conclusions together, and present a united front, the tensions that people often fear in intercultural households can be avoided, or at least significantly lessened. But even if everything in your household is harmonious and kumbaya, there is the consideration of raising mixed heritage children in the outside world. Ibi now lives in Bolton, which is more diverse than Wigan, the town she grew up in, but there still aren't a lot of other black people around. I asked her about the thoughts that she had as a black woman raising dual heritage children in a predominantly white area.
Yeah, so I suppose 2 points to answer this and illustrate this response, I suppose. So firstly, when we had Amos, we lived in Wigan. We soon moved to Bolton to live with Luke's parents while we saved for a house to get on the property ladder. So I became so aware of the proportion of white faces he saw in relation to, or in comparison to, black faces. So literally, I think my mum, if she ever came, the odd sibling, were the only black faces he saw, whereas they lived with Luke's family. You know, they're all white. We go to a predominantly white church. And so I actually noticed at one point that he was quite frightened of black people and black faces and very, very, very resistant. So if a black person came towards him to pick him up, he was frightened. Even if it was one of my brothers or one of my sisters, he would start to cry. So that had a huge, you know, effect really, because I actually remember having a conversation with Luke saying, like, this isn't good, like, he needs to be exposed to black people because the world he lives in is white predominantly. I was the weakest link because I was the only black face that he saw. And so, yeah, that was a big, big moment because, you know, I'd maybe not seen my brothers for a few weeks. He'd come over, he'd bend down to pick him or something. He'd really cry, like, bawl. And it wasn't just, you know, a one-time thing, or he's not just seen that relative for a while, so he's a bit confused. It was every time, it was every black person. So there's that bearing of, you have to be so much more intentional to expose them to things that they are half of. So he is half black, he is half, you know, Nigerian, African, but we're not surrounded by it, especially because of where we live. And I try and be intentional, which, you know, I could talk about more so later. But I think in terms of the other part would be, so he's four, so in September he'll go to school. And in this area, there's probably three or four really good schools that our friends from church had said, oh, you know, why don't you take him to this school? You know, some of the neighbours, some people who live locally had said, oh, this is the top school in the area. So me and Luke looked on the website. Obviously, we can't go and visit. We went to have a look. And for us, it just looked very white. And, you know, the teachers, the other kids, it just seemed very white. And actually, what we've ended up doing is gone in reverse. So the school that we've chosen and what mattered to us, rather than it being like, is it a church school? Is it this? Is it that? The most important things were, I said to Luke, we had a conversation, I said, I grew up in a school where I was one of probably three or four black people, probably including my siblings. I was the only black person in my whole class. So I said, I know what that feels like. I know how lonely it can be. I know how, you know, sad it can feel. And I said, I don't want our children, we're not going to move down south or move to Africa or move to another country. But I said, as long as we live in this up north, I want our children to be with children who look the same as them or who have different skin colours. Now, I'm not trying to say that I want it to be like a completely fully black class or anything like that, or a fully black school, but that was something that really, really mattered to us, that our children would see other people who look like them and, you know, represent them as well, and that similarity.
There is so much more to a school than its Ofsted report. I can relate to Ibi's concerns because I took a similar approach when it came to looking for a nursery and school for my children to attend. I asked Ibi what other ways she had been intentional about cultural diversity when it comes to her children's upbringing.
Yeah, so I spoke to somebody about this recently because for me, diversity is more than race. So obviously it's looking at people who've got, you know, different levels of ability, people who may have looked different physically. And I guess in our household, we would try our best to promote that not everyone looks like you, not everyone looks like me, not everybody's got the same, you know, level of ability, everyone's differently abled. So some of the very practical things are just looking at the types of things that they watch on telly. I think, you know, we've got a long way to go, but we've come a heck of a lot of a long way since when I was younger and there was hardly any TV shows with black or brown people or, you know, Asian people in them. Maybe, you know, the news or things like that. But in terms of children's shows that they can watch and they can see representation and they can see people who are like them. So we try and think about, I guess, what they would watch. Certain TV shows that, you know, even on CBeebies, what do they watch? some of the shows that we would say, oh, do you want to watch this? Let's look at this. And not being in a pushy way or in a contrived way. If they want to watch other stuff, you know, Disney stuff or, you know, some of the kiddie things that they're into, great. But I think you've got to have that intentionality because this is the subliminal, subconscious messages that they're being fed daily. Another thing would be the books that we read. So we make quite a big deal, I suppose, out of bedtime and story time. I love to read, I love books. And so with the kids, we've tried to buy quite a few books that celebrate, you know, little black boys or little black girls. And especially in the last probably 2 years, we've bought and asked people, if people say, oh, can I get them a book or what do they need? I'll say, oh, I know I'm very specific. I'll say, they love books, both of them, but if you get them a book, can you think about, you know, the colour of the children in the book? So that, again, this is just every day, they're seeing these people who are brown, who are black, who are Asian, they're seeing the diversity, they're seeing children who may be in a wheelchair, different things like that. And as well, just through our conversations too. So, you know, we'll talk to them about our skin colour being different. So, you know, they'll say, you know, mummy's brown, mummy's black, but daddy's white. And we'll talk about that and we'll say, well, that is because mummy's family's from Africa, from Nigeria. And, you know, Amos will tell me now, well, grandma's from Africa. And we have a book, which is like an atlas. And he'll point to all the different countries. And every time we come to Africa, he'll say, this is where my grandma's from. So just, again, not shielding them from the fact that they are biracial and they're a product of two cultures. Amos and Zion will never struggle to see their Britishness because it's all around them. But they'll have to fight to see and to know the African black side of who they are, because that is still very much a minority represented around them. So yeah, I very much take that seriously. It's my own personal responsibility. It's our responsibility as a husband and a wife and as a family to help them to celebrate that at the level that they're at, so they understand it and it makes sense to them.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Being in an interracial, intercultural family has also been a learning opportunity for Ibi. It's given her opportunity to consider her own upbringing and the balance that she wants to strike for herself and her own children now that she has a family to raise.
You know, I know not every African just sort of conforms to the trend or the tradition, but typically there isn't as much, you know, hands-on, tactile love, TLC. Africans just love tough love, and they love, you know, just saying it straight and setting you straight and sending you on your way. So, yeah, for me, I recognised that I hadn't had a lot of that nurture and that you know, affection and physical affection and affirmation growing up. Actually, my mum is quite, you know, very loving to the grandkids, actually, and very, like, she gets down to their level and, quite, you know, really affectionate. But I know that my parents were quite strict. So I'm quite by the book with the kids. So, you know, I don't let them get away with too much. And sometimes they can be like, oh, it's a bit too harsh or it's a bit this. But I'm just, I kind of see, I balance that. So I'm not, you know, I'm not ruling with an iron fist, but neither am I just letting them win every brawl or every, you know, every conflict or letting every meltdown that they get what they want. So I would say that that is actually something that we've come sort of met together in the middle on. So initially he probably would have said I was maybe too harsh and I would have maybe said he was too soft. But I think we've somewhat, you know, there's like a nice happy medium that we sit in now. You know, not going to either extreme of being like, you know, overly coddle the child or, you know, I feel like I have to just be how my parents were.
This happy intercultural balance isn't just something that needs to be found in homes where the parents are from different racial backgrounds. Of course, Black folks are not a monolith. And many of us find ourselves with partners who are Black, but have a different ethnic or cultural background. One such mum is Abigail, familiar to many of us from the family Instagram page, It's the Amps.
My name is Abigail. A lot of people think that I am like a full-time content creator, but I'm not. It's just something that just happened by chance, really. But I'm actually a brand and marketing consultant. That's what I actually do. I run my own business. I have done for like 6-7 years now. And like we just landed in the Instagram space. Essentially, when I was pregnant with my first son, just a lot happened that year. And I just set up this Instagram page. Like I never used to post pictures of myself. It was just I used to say stuff, kind of just offloading, really. So I just used to share my pregnancy journey and how I was feeling, because as I said, a lot had happened that year. I got married, lost my mom, got pregnant, had a baby. So there's a lot of, it was a very emotional year. So I set up my Instagram account as this little secret outlet. Nobody knew about it. And then after a little while later, I was like, you know what, this is, you know, I'm connecting with people and they've not even seen like my face. This is quite nice. And and then we just, you know, as the family grew, it grew, and here we are.
Abigail and her husband David are both from West African backgrounds. But while David is Ghanaian, Abigail is proudly and loudly Nigerian.
I mean, I'm Nigerian, I'm Yoruba, so you assume you end up with, you know, it wasn't a thing like, oh no, I must.
Yeah.
But you just assume that you're naturally going to marry someone who's got the same background as you. I mean, I don't know. That's what I thought anyway. It wasn't a thought. I just thought naturally, you know, I'd probably end up marrying a Nigerian Yoruba person. It wasn't really a thought per se. You know, and a few people that I had dated, like they were, you know, they were Yoruba, Nigerian. So I thought, well, yeah, I'll end up marrying someone from there. But obviously, it didn't turn out like that. You know, I think just because of where I grew up and, you know, the area I lived in. Yeah, I did naturally think I would just naturally end up with someone from the same background as me. But yeah, it is what it is.
Abigail and David are raising children with essentially three cultural influences. There is Abigail's Nigerian-ness, David's Ghanaian-ness, and then they are raising them in an entirely separate culture, Britain. For those of us who think it's important for our kids to maintain ties with their cultural heritages, the thought of trying to encourage a healthy familiarity with all these different cultures can feel daunting.
I was on a Clubhouse a little while ago and we were talking essentially about this. And, you know, I think for many people, of course, you know, when you come from somewhere that's got a rich culture and heritage and all of that, you do want to pass it on to your kids. I mean, culture, no matter what part of the world is, it's a beautiful thing. And I think it's amazing. And of course, we want to pass these things down. But I think for some of us, the reality of actually doing it, it's a lot harder. You know, again, like in our instance, I'm Nigerian, my husband's from Ghana, and we had it all planned out. So my plan was, okay, so when we have kids, you know, they'll spend a lot of time with my mom, and you know, she'll only speak Yoruba to them, and you know, they'll spend time with your parents and they'll only speak Chi to them and all that kind of stuff. And we had it all planned. I was like, yeah, you know, and at home, you need to make sure like you try and speak Chi to them, and I'll make sure I speak Yoruba to them. But the reality is, David and I speak English to each other. That's the common language in the house. So it's hard, and I have to be honest, like, we have not done it, you know, but we do try, you know, and check things like YouTube to see what resources are on there, like play them certain songs and stuff. And to be honest, we listen to a lot of like Afrobeats and stuff like that. So I feel like there's many ways that you can pass on, you know, bits of the culture. It's not just the language. Of course, I am determined that the kids will learn both languages. It's not too late. They're still young, but there are different elements. You know, there's the music we listen to. There's the food we eat. There's so many things that for me comes under the umbrella of, you know, passing down your culture and your heritage, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But you know, the language part of it, we are trying. We'll get there.
A side effect of coming from a proud and vibrant culture is that some people get quite competitive. Ghana versus Nigeria jollof is tired banter in my opinion, but some folks are out here really taking basmati rice versus long grain rice seriously. I asked Abigail if she had felt any tensions in her wider family when it came to how they were raising their Nigerian, British, Ghanaian kids.
If I'm honest, you know, you kind of get a vibe sometimes, and you know, there's certain, maybe there might be conversations going on over your head and around you, but not to you. And if I'm really, really honest with you, yeah, it's better that way. It just lets me know that no one is prepared to come and have that conversation with me, which means that deep down, you know, it's not a conversation you should have with me, because I'm not going to be having any of it. So yeah, you know, you feel stuff, you know, you get a vibe for stuff, but I don't have time for it. And I think at this point, you know, it's quite known on either side of the family, I'm not here for any of it. Like, I'm absolutely just, like, my tolerance for any kind of Ghana v Nigeria, I absolutely, like, if you really want me to flip, that would be it. I don't tolerate it. And you know, the way we've got things set up is that this is our home, and we will pick and choose from both cultures what we want. So whatever we feel works for us, we will embrace it. If we don't think something is appropriate, we're not going to embrace it. Again, we're Christians, so there's some cultural things that don't align with that. So, you know, that's just the way it is. We pick what works for us in our home and in our family. Anything else, we're not really interested. If things don't bother me and my husband in our household, then I don't expect anyone else to be bringing, you know, their own whatever it is to our front door. So yeah, I have zero tolerance on any kind of cultural this way, that way. Just not here for it.
I also asked Abigail if she had any advice for those of us, myself included, who get quite concerned about how we are passing on our culture to our children.
You know what? I think, you know, it's totally, totally understandable that people, you know, they want to pass culture on to their kids and all that kind of stuff. But like I said, I think we need to remember that there's so many other ways to do this. I know one of the things people, you know, get really, really bogged down by is making sure they pass on the language. But the truth is, it may not be easy. If the main language you speak isn't your mother tongue, then of course it's going to be even harder. And you know, we're in a modern age. There's classes, like, there's no shame in taking your kids to language classes to learn your mother tongue. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And, you know, if you're so adamant that you want them to learn, why not choose one of those avenues if you can't do it yourself? Because that's definitely the route I think I'm going to be taking. I just think, you know, we shouldn't put too much pressure on ourselves. There are ways, there are resources, you know. You know, some people, I have had some conversations with people like, no, like I have to, and, you know, by all means necessary, and get really, and it's fine. The passion is beautiful, but, you know, there are ways, there are resources. I was heavily relying on the fact that my mum would be here through the whole process, and she would, you know, the way I've seen her teach my nephews and nieces, she would do the same for me. But hey, she's not here, so I have to find another way. So yeah, I just think, you know, people shouldn't put too much pressure on themselves with these things. It's not that deep. It's not that hard. There are ways around it. You know, you can travel with your kids back home. You can introduce them to certain TV programs. Again, like I said, the music, the food you eat, and more importantly, just actually telling them about, you know, their family history and stuff like that. So there are ways around it. I just don't think we should get too stressed out about it. There are ways to keep it alive. One thing I always say is that you and your partner need to just stay united. You know, like, you need to just stay united, protect your four walls, because that's definitely what we did. Protect your four walls and, you know, just kind of put people in their place when you need to, as hard as it can be. But can't let people have too much influence over your happiness and your relationship, essentially.
Let's be real, folks. The nature of culture is that it changes and develops different flavours and variations as it comes into contact with other cultures and influences. No culture is perfectly preserved as it's handed down from generation to generation, even in the land where the culture originated. As well as the cultures that are being handed down to us, each of us as parents is creating a new culture within our homes. One where we can create our own traditions, honour our heritages in whatever ways we feel comfortable with, and ultimately create an environment where our kids can be their full selves, embracing every part of their identity and flourishing into whoever they are going to be. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Black Ballad Presents The Survival Guide. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, tell all your followers on social media about us, and also make sure you're subscribed wherever you usually listen to podcasts. This is a Black Ballad production, and the theme music for this podcast is by Darrell Banks.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.